I grew up with a lot of knuckleheads. I was a knucklehead.
Welcome to the AlderTrack AlderCast, a professional guide to Chicago politics. Each week, we're going to try to tell you what actually happened in Chicago government, what passed, who said what in their own words, and why it matters. I'm A.D. Quigg.
And I'm Claudia Morell. It's Friday, June 10th. This week,
the Airbnb fight continues behind closed doors.
Airbnb folks, who seem to be pretty tone deaf, need to realize that.
Transgender access to public bathrooms gets hashed out in a council committee.
The question they face is, where can I go to the bathroom? That's appalling.
And Cook County's pension fund outlook is as bleak as you'd expect.
There's a couple of troubling trends.
But first, the battle over regulating Airbnb and other home sharing services is still up in the air.
Even though a council committee passed regulations last month, it didn't get sent to the full council. And Housing Chairman Joe Moore says there's a 50-50 chance there will be another hearing on other regulations.
A working group of aldermen have been meeting regularly, he says.
To try to address any concerns they may have. So
most aldermen are asking for more, not fewer regulations, especially those who represent wards made up predominantly of single-family homes.
There are not a whole lot of folks who are thinking that the ordinance that was proposed is too strict. It's quite frankly the other way. And, you know, I think the Airbnb folks, who seem to be pretty tone deaf, need to realize that.
Alderman Moore is referencing these TV ads from the Internet Association blasting the mayor for his ordinance.
If he's the mayor, he should be a mayor on every street corner all over the city. I would say to Mayor Emanuel to leave the little guy alone.
The ad features a black CPS substitute teacher who lives in Hyde Park. Some commentators have noted these ads reinforce the mayor's reputation as a one percenter. Here's Alderman Joe Moore again.
They need to be subject to reasonable regulations to safeguard public health and safety.
So would you say that there's a strong likelihood that there will be a committee meeting before the June 22nd monthly to iron out some of those issues?
There's a
50-50.
Yeah.
Okay. Aldermen approved an amendment to the city's human rights ordinance this week in committee. It would allow transgender individuals to use whichever public restrooms they associate with their gender identity.
For many years, prejudice and fear caused many people to reject the idea of different races using the same bathroom. Most recently, there was fear of what gay people might do in the bathroom. And today is transgender individuals in the bathroom who are demonized.
That's the city's Human Relations Commissioner Mona Noriega, who helped draft the change. It was a response to a controversial North Carolina law critics said discriminated against trans people. It's also the first piece of legislation championed by the newly formed LGBT caucus. Here's one of those members, Alderman James Kappelman.
The amount of discrimination and the amount of violence that they experience, and coupled with where, you know, that the question they face is, where can I go to the bathroom? That's appalling.
But a few aldermen raised concerns about potential abuse, or what Alderman Nick Spizzato dubbed the knucklehead effect.
I grew up with a lot of knuckleheads. I was a knucklehead, so I did stupid things, you know. So I see knuckleheads being knuckleheads, you know, guys just saying now they want to go into the girls' bathroom. So
Spizzato tried to get an official from the police department to clarify what happens when a woman calls the police to complain there's a man in the woman's restroom. This exchange between him and police commander Sean Joyce pretty much sums it up.
I'm uncomfortable. Mary's uncomfortable. Johnny went into the bathroom. She calls the police. The police come. You come there. Johnny says, I identify as a woman. That's it. And that you guys go away and that's it? What do you mean you conduct an investigation? That's right there. She's asking for a question and support right there. What happens? Does anything happen? That would be the question.
Well, a number of things. Depending on the circumstances, obviously another thing.
I'm not asking anything happen. He was just in there. That's all he did. Mary's uncomfortable. Johnny's in the bathroom. Police have them be close by. You guys come by. You say, Johnny, you were in the bathroom. What's going on? He says, I identify as a woman. That's the end of the investigation, correct?
As you know, we don't police comfort and uncomfort
of
people.
That.
So we're there if there's a crime taking place. If a crime hasn't taken place.
I'm not talking about a crime.
Well, then please be more specific with your question.
In the end, Commander Joyce said it's not an arrestable offense.
In the opinion of the chairs, the ayes have it. And the committee will report this out at City Council on June 26th.
We've talked a lot on the show about Chicago's pension problems, and there's a lot to say, but there's also a $7.2 billion liability at the Cook County Pension Fund that's growing by the day. Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, who chairs the pension committee, summed it up.
There's a couple of troubling trends. There's more retirees and fewer actives to support them. You have lower investment returns, which used to be a substantial part of what created the inflows every year, and you're having greater benefit payments.
Cook County board members were given a brief overview of the fund's standing this week. The fund represents about 40,000 people, and if things continue the way they have been, it'll run out of money in 2039.
There are a few things at work here. There are fewer county employees paying in, more retirees expecting benefits, and for a long time, by law, the county wasn't contributing as much as the fund needed to stay healthy.
Which leads to this huge unfunded liability. In the county's last budget, they moved to correct some of that by paying extra.
With what? Sales tax money. Remember last summer? All those headlines about Chicago having the highest sales tax in the country? That was because of that 1% hike from the county. Most of the revenue from that hike's going right into pensions, which in turn is going straight to benefits. And another problem? Investment returns. Here's Commissioner Larry Suffredin and Nicole Hackett, Executive Director of the Pension Fund.
Your actuarial projection of investment return is what percentage?
7.5%.
And in 2015, what was your actual?
Just about flat. Just about zero.
So quietly at the end there. Zero. The investments aren't making money.
Cook County's CFO, Ivan Samstein, said things aren't all bad. The county has a stable outlook from the three major ratings agencies and is on the upswing.
All three agencies upgrade our outlook to stable. All of them reflected the central component to that stabilization of our bond rating outlook unambiguously was the board's commitment and willingness, as one of the agencies, I'll quote directly, the willingness to raise funding to address pension liabilities.
True. All the agencies rated the county as stable, but S&P actually downgraded the county before giving it that stable rating.
S&P and other ratings agencies have said the burden of the city's and the public schools' debt keeps the county from building up its reserves.
Opposed, nay. The motion passes and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
For now, thanks for listening to the AlderTrack AlderCast. Please subscribe to catch us every weekend. We're on iTunes and WGN+. And you can find us on Twitter at AlderTrack.
We also provide in-depth original reporting about Chicago and Cook County government to our paid subscribers. You can learn more at aldertrack.com/Chicago. I'm Claudia Morell.
I'm A.D. Quigg. Tune in next week.